With the help of our Heavenly Father, and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I desire that we read from the book of Joshua, chapter 6. The book of Joshua, chapter 6. I desire to read in our first reading this afternoon, 10 verses from the beginning of this chapter. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests, and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests, bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns, passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests, and blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. This far I desire to read from the book of Joshua, chapter 6. And now, before we proceed on with our reading and look into the verses we read, let us unite our hearts and minds in prayer and thanksgiving to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Thou hast given us Thy holy word today. When we met around Thy holy word in the morning, Thou hast given us, O Heavenly Father, the instructions, the direction, Thy precepts and Thy commandments, O Lord, that we would know how to follow in the path of righteousness. And now again, O Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou bless Thy holy word, the message that we are reading this afternoon hour. That Thou, O Lord God Almighty, open our hearts and our minds to understand Thy word, to know Thy will, and to keep thy word, to observe thy precepts, to be faithful, O Heavenly Father. Thou make us faithful, and thou also make us fruitful on this path of righteousness, as we have received the example of thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we may follow in his steps, that we may be the faithful imitators of the holy apostles, as thou hast led us to Christ, O Heavenly Father, as to a living stone, that chosen cornerstone that thou hast placed in Zion, that we, O Heavenly Father, by thy grace arriving to him, that we may also be built in as the living rocks into that spiritual building, that holy temple of the true faith that once was given to the saints, the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, as thou hast led thy people in the days of Joshua, by thy holy word, by thy instruction, O Heavenly Father, may this holy word of thine and the instruction, the guidance and protection of thy Holy Spirit be fully given to our souls, that we may be united in upholding thy holy word, and as the priestly trumpets sounded forth around the city of Jericho, grant thou, O Father, to us that holy testimony of thine, that we may sound forth the sound of thy gospel in words and in deeds. Let every power of the enemy may fall down before thee, O Lord. Thou dost defeat the powers of darkness, O God, and thou deliver thy people from any and every bondage. And thou grant us, O Lord God Almighty, to be faithful and zealous in this holy battle in which our great captain, the Prince Emmanuel, has already won the greatest victory. O grant us thou that we willingly take the burden of the cross upon our shoulders, with the strength and zeal of thy Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts and ruling our lives, guiding our steps and illuminating our mind, that we may, O Heavenly Father, with joy and gladness proclaim thy goodness and mercy, and seriously declare that thy righteous judgment is coming, that we may, O Heavenly Father, serve thee in the time of peace and quietness, and also in the time of fiercest battle and tempest. Thou grant us, O Heavenly Father, to sow that precious seed with tears, that we would also reap with joy, that we may come before thy holy face, bringing in the sheaves. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, that we may also be found as the wheat that thou wilt gather to thee, and not as the chaff that will be burnt with fire. O Lord God Almighty, in this service of thine, Thou grant us faithfulness. Make us meek and humble, patient and kind, strong to endure, peaceful, peace-loving and peacemaking. Thou teach us, O Heavenly Father, and enable us in Christ to have that peace toward everyone as far as it be given to us, and also to have that holiness without which no one is going to see thy holy face. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, as thou art making thy word to sound forth far and wide all over this earth, before that last trumpet will sound to proclaim that the day of grace upon the face of the earth is ended and the day of judgment has come, and the long awaited redemption of thy children will be completed. Gracious Lord, bless thy holy word and make it powerful. Lead us thou and teach us thou. Purify thou us, sanctify thou us. And thou do the healing, O Heavenly Father. Grant us health, both for our soul and body, mind and spirit, that our heart may be the dwelling place, the holy place, where thy spirit dwelleth, that our body may be as the temple, as the church, where there is the altar of the holy faith and the offerings of incense of prayer and praise to thy holy name is continually being offered to thee, O Lord. Thou fill our hearts with faithfulness, love, and zeal for thy name. Thou fill our days with true godliness, charity and loving kindness, and a continual testimony of this blessed gospel, the gospel of the salvation of our souls. Gracious Lord, make us thou thine own more and more. Make us thou thine own, O Heavenly Father, forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
For our second reading, beloved, let us continue from the book of Joshua, chapter 6, on the verse 11. And let us read to the verse number 20. Joshua, chapter 6, verse 11. Let us continue our reading with the help of the Lord. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear ward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. and the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. This far I desire to read from this chapter, that in a way is a very unique battle. I don't think that we could find in the whole scripture another battle that was identical to this one. And I feel, beloved, that in this chapter, or from this chapter, we can learn some very deep spiritual meaning to instruct us how we should battle, how we should follow the Ark of the Covenant and compass this whole world around us, through which we are journeying on our way to the promised land, the land not where floweth milk and honey, but the river of life and the tree of life that bringeth its fruit continually. We read here in the preceding chapter, chapter 5, that it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. That moment Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Joshua believed that the words of this person were true. And Joshua said to this captain of the heavenly host, the host of the Lord, What saith my Lord unto his servant? Here we see how Joshua had an open heart and mind, and how Joshua was eager to hear the will of the Lord. And the captain of the Lord's host did not say to Joshua, Do not worship before me, as the one of the angels said to John the apostle in the book of Revelation. This person did not say to Joshua, I am an angel and servant, just like the prophets, or like thou, or Moses, or Abraham. No, the captain of the Lord, of the host of the Lord, said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, we know nothing, at least I don't know anything, about the conversation. What did the captain of the host of the Lord tell to Joshua after this? But from the manners and deeds of Joshua, the servant of the Lord, afterward, we can see that Joshua did receive the message of the Lord with mind and heart. That Joshua did faithfully follow the word of God. And yet, I think, beloved, that there must have been in Joshua's experience some moments when Joshua did regret that he did not do the things in some better way, because he also was a man. Now, Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. I wonder, beloved, what was the reason? Of course, as Rahab told to the spies, the two men that Joshua sent to Jericho, that the people of Jericho are very much afraid from the children of Israel, because apparently from Jericho it was possible to see how the children of Israel crossed the river Jordan as walking on the dry land, dry ground. And they were so afraid because none of their idols was ever demonstrated as powerful as the Lord God of Israel. And they knew, the people of Jericho knew, that the Lord God of Israel is the God of heaven and earth. You see, the gods of the Gentiles, their idols, are vanity and nothingness. The imagination of human mind, actually a product of human corruption and sin. But in their imagination, in their, so to say, religion, they created gods, and their gods had some sections of their might and power. There was a god in the air, another one on the earth, another one under the earth, and again another one in the rivers, and another one in the forest, and perhaps another one in the sea, and so on. So if they were traveling through the forest, they would offer a sacrifice to the god of the forest for the protection as long as they go through that forest. If they were climbing up the mountains, they would first offer a sacrifice to the god of the mountains, hoping, expecting to gain favor of the god of the mountains. But now they see that the Lord God of Israel parted the Red Sea, so they understood he is the god of the sea. They saw how they were informed how the armies of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, perished in the Red Sea. So the God of Israel is the God of the battle also. And they saw how they were informed how the children of Israel lived and survived in the wilderness, where there is nothing for the people to live, no water, no food. And yet they had food for their families and for their cattle. And they had water to drink. And something even more wonderful, the fountain of water was following them. And there was a huge cloud that made a shadow for them to protect the children of Israel. And the same cloud was light during the night. Obviously, it was a majestic, powerful God everywhere. His might is everywhere. And how awful to have that God as their enemy. And so the people of Jericho, as typical sinners, corrupted human beings, decided that they are going to try something that might help against the God of Israel. Never before they, or at least they never heard that ever before God of Israel went over the huge big cities, walls of a city. So they probably gathered a lot of food, water to drink, food to eat, and probably some weapons to protect themselves. And they closed the gates of the city, they placed their soldiers all along the wall, and now they are ready. They can wait that way for a long time, and around the Jericho are plains where there is no food, no water, nothing. So the children of Israel will not be able to stay there for a long time. And if the children of Israel would continue, they just go around the city of Jericho and continue their way, then the armies of Jericho could attack from the back, where the flocks are, where the elderly people are, and women and children. Well, they were wrong. As all of the enemies, all the people in the land of Canaan that were corrupted and very sinful and condemned to perish, to be destroyed from off the face of the earth, the city, the people of the city of Jericho were wrong. Something very interesting might be a good question here. Why? No one in that city of Jericho got the idea that they could make a delegation and send the delegation to Joshua and plead for peace and ask for the conditions of peace and ask for mercy that they might live. Why none of them said, "Now look, this God of Israel is so powerful and he's so protective of his people. Why don't we offer sacrifices to this God and ask for his mercy and his favor? Perhaps he will accept us. Let us see what are his ways and his commandments and his precepts, and let us keep that we may live and not die." No, they didn't think about that. They had the fear of God, but not unto salvation, not toward conversion. But they had a fear of God to somehow reject that God successfully, to confront him, and to somehow endure against the power of that God. Does this not look like just about every sinner? What was the first reaction, or perhaps quite a few reactions, of probably all of us when we first were thinking about God and his will? Or perhaps before we took time to think seriously about our salvation, how many times we not only turned away, but contrary, against the will of the Lord, for some really worthless, sinful reason. Well, what happened in this case? There is Joshua with his armies, and before them is a huge barrier and a serious danger. And never before Joshua and his people, his soldiers, attacked a city that had a huge, massive wall all around. But the captain of the Lord, of the host of the Lord, is there, and he is leading this war, and he is giving the message to Joshua, the instruction how to battle against the enemies of the Lord. So there is the instruction that God gave to Joshua, and Joshua very carefully related the word of God, the message from the Lord, to the people. First to the captains of the thousands, and then the captains of the thousands turned around and repeated the commandment to the captains of the hundreds, and the captains of the hundreds turned around and repeated the commandment to the soldiers, and the soldiers stood up in the formation as they were instructed in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Then Joshua commanded to the priests, according to the word of God, to take 7 trumpets of the ram's horn and to walk after the soldiers in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And then the other priests to take the Ark of the Covenant upon their shoulders and to walk in line. And so they walk around the city, and the priests are blowing in the trumpets. It's not an easy job. Walking a long walk around the city and blowing the trumpet, it's not an easy thing. So the people of Jericho are watching from the top of the walls, and they hear the trumpets. They probably wondered, what kind of a parade is this? What are those Hebrews doing around the city? The soldiers are armed, but they're not attacking. The priests are carrying the trumpets. Now, the trumpets could have been part of a battle before. It might not have been something entirely new for the citizens of Jericho. But the priests also carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. It's a box. It's probably covered with some curtains. And they walk and walk and walk around the city and come back into the camp. I imagine, beloved, that first time they were all tired. But tomorrow they were tired a little bit less. And then third day they were stronger. And fourth day they were even more stronger. And perhaps on the sixth day, when they walked around the city once, it was like nothing, because they got used to that labor. And so are the people of the Lord. When we work, when we labor for the Lord, we get used to that and we get stronger. So on the seventh day they walk. It's not quite clear to me, beloved. My impression is that they walked once around the city quietly, or that they blew the trumpets only once, only a short time. But I don't know. Perhaps all of you together with me can study this chapter better and more and find out. Because there had to be a difference, a sign, when the people were going to shout, or if the priests were blowing the trumpets all the time, first time, second time, third time, and so on, until seventh time, until they came to the same point where they started their walk around the city. Maybe. In any case, as they were walking around the city, first time that seventh day, they came to the same point, they look at the walls, and they're standing there just as strong and as huge as ever. No change. See, when they passed around the city once, not even a brick or a stone fell down. Nothing. But they obeyed the word of God and believed the word of God. So they walked the second time, and the walls are there. Nothing changed. Only one thing is changing. See, when they passed around the city once, not even a brick or a stone fell down. Nothing. But they obeyed the word of God and believed the word of God. So they walked the second time, and the walls are there. Nothing changed. Only one thing is changing. The last moments of those walls around Jericho are counted. The time is getting shorter. And they go third time, and fourth and fifth and sixth time. And now they are walking around the cities the seventh time. They might have been at least considerably tired. But there is that faith in the word of God. The city is still standing, and the wall is there. And there, on one part of the wall, is the house of Rahab. And from that one window is hanging down that scarlet thread, fabric, the sign that in that city there is someone who is not an enemy, but a friend. And so they walk and walk and walk. And they come to the point where they started. At that moment, Joshua shouted the command, shout. And captains of the thousands repeated the commandment to the captains of the hundreds, and the captains of the hundreds to the people. And the priests blew the trumpets full blast, and the people shouted in all of their might. We read here, the walls of the city of Jericho fell down flat. How did they fall flat? I don't know how much we can believe those that wrote the books about the excavations of the city of Jericho. They said that the walls of the city of Jericho did not fall apart. They just sank down deep into the ground and became like a very convenient bridge for the armies of Israel to walk in. And they walked in. And they destroyed the city. And they destroyed everything that was alive. But they kept the promise. They kept the covenant of the Lord with all the families of Rahab, the innkeeper, the woman that at such an important moment, when the lives of the two spies were endangered in the city of Jericho, Rahab decided to risk her own life to save the spies, because she believed that Jehovah is God. And so they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, men and women, young and old, and all the cattle with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot's house, and bring out hence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swore unto her." You know what happened? The house of Rahab probably was right down on the ground, because it was before on the wall. So they just walked out, led by the two soldiers. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, all the in-laws. Whoever was in Rahab's house, they were saved. And they brought them out. They brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire, and all that was therein. That was a big fire. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And so Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Beloved, what happened to Rahab? It seemed to me, when we read in the gospel the genealogy, the bloodline of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that Rahab, the former harlot of the city of Jericho, became a chaste mother. A mother of a very godly man in Israel, and the grand, or perhaps the great grandmother, of one of the very famous kings in Israel. And so her name is recorded in the bloodline, in the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Because she feared God and trusted Him for her salvation. I remember how the Word of God was going around my heart, and there was a huge wall of resistance, and inside was the armor of the enemy. So many desires, so much self-will, so much deception. But the commandments of the Lord, the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the trumpet of His gospel went around and around. And then there was a moment of great shout. And the walls of the city fell down. that city, that old man with his sin was burned with fire, put to death, turned into ashes. Balance.